series this month is Come and See the Empty Tomb. And tonight we're going to talk about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today is Palm Sunday, which begins the Holy Week. We observe Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And John records it beautifully. John chapter 12, verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." So today we celebrate, we observe Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now, Peter, when he was preaching to the house of Cornelius in Acts 10:38, said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus, when he walked this earth, when he ministered for 3 years on the streets of Israel, he went about doing good. He raised the dead. He taught about the kingdom of God, right? He cast demons out of the demon-possessed. He brought healing to sick bodies. He went about doing good, but his enemies wanted him to die. The chief priests and the elders had the Romans execute him by way of crucifixion on a cross. It was a torturous way to die. He died upon that cross. He was placed in the grave, but guess what? Death had no hold over Jesus. Jesus rose from the grave 2,000 years ago. You know, death has no mastery over Jesus. Jesus defeated death for you and for me and for everybody listening. Is that good news here tonight? He was stronger than death. He defeated death by his resurrection from the grave. And Mark chapter 16, we're going to read a few scriptures there about the women who were looking. My Bible is here, giving me a little bit. Let's see here. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, this is Mark 16, 1, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Now, Paul gives a great defense of the resurrection from the dead in 1 Corinthians 15. So tonight we're going to concentrate on 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. The resurrection of Jesus Christ he's talking about. Now, brothers, 1 Corinthians 15, 1. "I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures," verse 4, "that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some may have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." In other words, he was saying he was extremely unworthy because at one time he persecuted the followers of Jesus Christ. So Paul here in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8, gives convincing evidence for the resurrection of Jesus through the more than 500 witnesses who saw the risen Christ, most of whom were still living when Paul wrote this epistle. If that's not convincing proof, I don't know what is. So he establishes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that he is alive and well. Amen?
Amen.
And then he makes a defense of the resurrection of the dead starting in verse 12. So tonight, for the next few moments, we're going to talk about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We're going to read these verses here, starting in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So amongst the Corinthian believers that he was writing this epistle to, there were some false teachers propagating a heresy that there was no resurrection of the dead. And Paul goes about very logically, persuasively, convincing his readers, the Corinthians, that there is such a thing as the resurrection of the dead. Verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. So for the next few moments, as I said, we're going to talk about the importance of the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. First, I want to read you this from the speaker's quote book. It's a good little word that this one individual has. Charles W. Kesor. He who would preach the gospel must go directly to preaching the resurrection of Christ. He who does not preach the resurrection is no apostle, for this is the chief part of our faith. Everything depends on our retaining a firm hold on this article of faith in particular. For if this one totters and no longer counts, all the others will lose their value and validity. The doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead over 2,000 years ago is a central teaching of the Christian faith. And we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. And Paul writes this, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, our preaching is useless. It's fruitless. There's no motivation to continue preaching. But I can personally attest to you tonight that in my heart, I am convinced that Jesus rose from the grave 2,000 years ago. I serve a living and risen Savior. And I know that my preaching, because I'm convinced of the resurrection of Jesus from the grave, I know that my preaching is not useless, it is useful. I know that my preaching is not fruitless, it is fruitful, because I'm sharing and spreading the seeds of the gospel, and God is making it grow, and all those who are listening hopefully will come into the kingdom of God. You've got to be convinced that Jesus rose from the grave over 2,000 years ago. Don't let anybody, any theology, any so-called Christian, nominal Christian, try to sow seeds of doubt in your mind, in your heart, that Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. He rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, and it's got to be settled in your heart. Say it with me tonight. Jesus rose. From the grave,
from death.
2,000 years ago,
I serve
a living Savior, and that is settled in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, God also has for you to share His gospel, maybe not in a pulpit, but He has for you to share His gospel one-on-one with somebody in your sphere of influence. And guess what? If you're not convinced of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead 2,000 years ago in your heart, you may not have the boldness to step out and share the gospel with that person God is placing in your life. If you know beyond the shadow of any doubt that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, it gives you motivation to preach and teach and share His gospel with those around you. You know, if it's settled in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, you know that you know the seeds of the gospel you're sharing, God will make grow, and you'll continue sharing the gospel. Is that making sense here tonight? And that's what, that's one of the reasons that the resurrection of Jesus from the grave is so important, because it gives you motivation to share His good news with those who are lost. Then he says, second part of verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In other words, he's saying, if Christ indeed has not been raised from the dead, your faith is useless. He's saying it is useless to believe. It's useless. It's fruitless to believe in Christ and Jesus Christ if you don't believe that He was raised from the dead. You've got to know it in your heart that He was raised from the dead. If there's no resurrection of Christ from death, then our faith is useless. It's useless to believe in Christ and His doctrines if He indeed did not resurrect from the dead. But we have got to have it settled in our hearts that Jesus is alive. He rose from death. Being convinced in our hearts that He is alive makes believing in Christ useful. It gives us motivation to keep following the risen Christ through the thick and the thin. You know, there are people in other nations that are persecuted for the gospel's sake. Persecuted. Some of them are beaten. And they continue to follow Christ. Why is that? It's because in their hearts, they are convinced that Jesus was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. They are convinced that Jesus is alive and well. And because they're convinced of it, guess what? They continue believing in Him regardless of the persecutions. Because they know that on the other side, when they leave this earth, they'll be in heaven with Jesus forever and ever. Is that good news here tonight? And here in America, people are mocked for their faith in Christ. Even in America, people are mocked for their faith in Christ. And maybe you're being mocked for your faith in Christ. Maybe you've been, maybe somebody's making fun of you because you're no longer partying with that old crowd. Maybe they're mocking you because you're no longer doing the drugs and the alcohol with them. Maybe they're mocking and talking down on you because you no longer look at the things you used to look at. But it's okay, friends. Continue following Jesus Christ. Believing in the resurrection of Jesus, knowing that He is alive and well, having strong faith in Him as a result, motivates you to continue following Him through the trials and mockery. Because you know that on the other end of your belief in following Jesus, you have the gift of eternal life. But if you're not convinced in your heart, if it's not settled in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, and somebody out there is mocking you and tempting you to go back to that old lifestyle, guess what? You might implode and fall for the temptation. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're convinced of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, if you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you serve a living and risen Savior, no matter who mocks you, you're not going to bow. You're not going to implode spiritually. You're going to continue following Jesus through the trial and the persecution because you know deep down on the inside that you serve a risen Lord. You've got to have it settled in your heart. This is another reason for the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It makes your believing useful, fruitful. It motivates you to continue believing and following Jesus when the going gets tough. You know, the Christian walk is not a bed of roses. The Christian walk is not peaches and cream. It's tough. People are going to mock you. People are going to persecute you. But you know what? If it's settled on the inside that you serve a risen Lord and you love Him and you have trust in Him, though they mock you, you continue following Jesus because you know that He is alive. Amen? Amen. Then He says this. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain and that we are still in our sins. In other words, he's saying that if indeed Christ has not been raised from the dead, it's a useless faith. It's a faith in vain because you are all unpardoned sinners. But if it's settled in your hearts that you serve a risen Savior, sin cannot dominate you. Let me say it again. If it is settled in your heart that you serve a risen Savior and that you know that Jesus was raised from the dead and that He beat death and lives forevermore, sin cannot dominate you. The shackles of sin will start falling off of your life if you have it settled in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead and that you serve a risen and living Savior. Is it possible that some people who call themselves Christians are still dominated by sin because maybe they're not convinced of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead over 2,000 years ago? You've got to be convinced. You've got to have it settled in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead. Don't let anybody, don't let anything, don't let any false theology, any so-called nominal quote-unquote career minister try to sow seeds of doubt in your mind that Jesus rose from the dead. It is the central doctrine of Christianity, the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All that is important in the Christian faith hinges on the resurrection of Jesus from the grave 2,000 years ago. It's got to be settled in your heart. Do you want the shackles of sin to fall off your life?
Oh, yeah.
Then start believing that your Savior is alive. Are you dealing with some type of sin that only you and God know about tonight, and it's trying to dominate you, it's trying to oppress you, it's a stronghold in your life? I'm here to tell you tonight, the first step is to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Knowing deep down on the inside that you serve a risen and living Savior. And if that's settled in your heart, deep down on the inside, that Jesus is alive, the shackles, the strongholds, the chains of sin will start coming off your life. So that's the other reason the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important. Because if it's settled in your heart that He rose from the dead, sin no longer can dominate you. Amen? Is that good news here tonight? Then he says, then, those also who have fallen asleep, this is verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 15, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. He's saying, if indeed Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we are in our sins and we're all going to hell. If Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, that means that we're all lost. That's what he's saying. But we know that Jesus was raised from the dead. Knowing that you trust a living Savior, that He rose from the grave and defeated death, assures us eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've got to know it deep down on the inside that Jesus is alive and well. And if you know that Jesus is alive and well, and you have your faith and your trust and your hope in Him, and you're following Him on a daily basis, when you leave this earth, you'll be in heaven with Him forever one day. And that's probably the most important reason to have it settled deep down on the inside that Jesus rose from the grave. Because believing in that, believing in a risen Savior, assures you the gift, the prize of eternal life when you leave this earth. And the good news is this. John writes in 1 John 5:12 that he who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son does not have life. If you've got the risen Son, Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning in your heart, you've got the Zoe life of God. You've got the eternal life of God. What he's writing in 1 John 5:12 is that when you accept the Son and you believe in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, eternal life begins for you at that moment that you accepted Jesus Christ. So if you accepted Christ a month ago, or 2 months ago, or a year ago, or 10 years ago, eternal life began for you at that moment. Because it was settled in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead. And you know, in eternity, there's only the goodness of God. In eternity, there is no more discord. You can have a taste of harmony on this earth if eternal life began for you when you accepted Jesus. In eternity in heaven, there is no more sickness. And if eternal life began for you when you accepted the risen Son into your life, that means you can have a taste of the healing power of God on this earth. Is that good news here tonight? In eternity in heaven, there is no more financial lack. And if eternal life began for you when you accepted Jesus, then guess what? You can have a taste of God's financial provision in the here and now on this earth. But it's got to be settled in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead. Don't doubt it for even a moment. And if you get weak in yourself and you're like, man, it's hard for me to believe this. I slip up sometimes. It's tough for me to believe that He rose from the dead. Just say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, my faith is weak. Strengthen my faith. God, increase my faith. And God will do it for you. It's a central tenet of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so this is the most important reason, as I said a few moments ago, for having it settled in your heart that Jesus rose from the grave. It's because believing that, believing in a risen Savior, gives you the gift of eternal life when you leave this earth, but eternal life, a taste of the goodness of eternal life here on this earth. One final illustration here tonight that I want to read to you. And it's this. I thought this was good. Listen to this. This is from the speaker's quote book. The noted conductor, Reichel, was taking his choir and orchestra through their final rehearsal of Handel's beautiful and inspiring Messiah. When the soprano soloist came in with the refrain, I know that my Redeemer liveth, she sang it with flawless technique, perfect breathing, and clear enunciation. After she completed her part, everyone looked at the conductor, expecting to see his response of approval. With a motion from his baton for silence, he walked over to the soloist and said, almost sorrowfully, my daughter, you do not really know that your Redeemer lives, do you? Embarrassed, she answered, why, yes, I think I do. Then sing it, cried Reichel. Tell it to me so that I'll know you have experienced the joy and the power of it. Then he motioned to the orchestra to begin, and she sang the truth with a fervor that testified of her personal knowledge of the risen Lord. Those who listened wept, and the old master, eyes wet with tears, said to her, you do know, for this time you have told me. She sang it from her heart. Friends, you've got to belt it out. You've got to shout it out. I serve a living Savior. He is alive and well. He rose from the grave 2,000 years ago and defeated death. He lives forevermore. He dies no more. And because I trust in him, I will live forevermore. It's got to be in your heart. You've got to belt it out. You've got to shout it out. My God, my Jesus is alive and well. It'll make your preaching useful. It'll give you motivation to continue following Christ through the thick and the thin. It'll cause the shackles of sin to start falling off your life. And it guarantees you the gift of eternal life by having it settled in your heart that Jesus rose from the grave and you serve and trust a living Savior.